Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the home of free speech and free speakers. And before I go on any further, I just want to remember William from Montana, who was a frequent caller and occasional guest on this show. Everybody remembers him for his insights into Russia. He taught himself how to read Russian. All sorts of other things. He was very early to look into the coronavirus. I had him on to explain the coronavirus in the very early days. And he passed away on April 15th. If you want a proper send-off for him, that will be, I'll refer you to Jeremy's show from Thursday night. And, of course, actually, I'm recording this on Thursday night, so he hasn't quite recorded. He'll be doing his show an hour from now, but I'm sure that's going to be on it. So I just wanted to remember him and take a short few seconds of silence and then resume my shilling. I'm going to shill next for the Kosher-tified app. Kosher-tified app, it's everything you want to be, which is non-kosher certified. It is a great app. Download it. You can use it on your Android phone. You cannot use it on Apple because Tim Cook is gay, and that has something to do with it. Today, I have with me Don Advo from Stormfront Radio. Don Advo, what have you been up to?
Well, greetings from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied California. I've been up to working as a lawyer, my lifelong career, and wearing my mask in public, and not very active. Just trying to suffer out California, which is a kind of a challenge in and of itself. Unfortunately, we no longer have Stormfront Radio, and so that's off the air, but hopefully it will be back someday. And now I'm had the opportunity to be a guest on your really great show.
Well, thank you very much. Now, you've been doing this white advocacy for many a year, and I'm sure things have changed quite a bit. I mean, they've changed quite a bit since a year ago. What are your thoughts on the changes? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Are there any silver linings in the gray clouds?
I think there are some reasons to be hopeful. I first got involved in pro-white activism in about the year 2000. I attended a Holocaust denial conference sponsored by the Institute for Historical Review, Mark Weber, and I heard David Irving speak and many, many other people. And it was World War II history more than white advocacy, but you can't really get into this area very deeply until you bump up against Jewish power. And of course, white advocacy is kind of an important thing. You didn't see very many black people coming
at
to the
whole point. I mean, nothing makes sense without looking at Jewish power.
Yeah, it is the ordering, like gravity is the ordering principle of the physical world. Jewish power is the ordering principle of the political world. So that was the year 2000. And in 2003, I signed up for Stormfront, became a poster there and a reader and a contributor. And then 2005, I attended the David Duke conference in New Orleans, Louisiana, and that was a great experience. I got to meet Dr. Duke. I got to meet Michael Collins Piper, and James Edwards was there. Paul Fromm was there. Lots of really great people were there, and I established a friendship with Michael Collins Piper. We chatted. We rode the shuttle back to the airport on the last day of the first day after the conference was over, and became good friends. He sent me a copy of his book, and we corresponded quite a bit until his untimely passing. I think it was in 2014. And of course, in 2012, I did my first podcast with the now defunct Carolyn Yeager show, and I was a guest on a number of different podcasts, and then in 2014 I became a regular alternate host on Stormfront Radio, and I did that until last year, 2020. I had some health problems that kind of shut me down on that, but the changes I've seen, pretty abrupt, pretty challenging. I mean, the big change was the Trump election, and when the Trump election happened, it's like our opponents ripped away the masks and revealed themselves for what they really were. Trump is very controversial among our people. Some regard him quite fondly. Others are quite hostile to Trump. He was certainly a disappointment at so many different levels. But what he forced the opposition to do is rip away the mask. Mm-hmm. And so now we see the real truth about Republicans like Mitt Romney and George W. Bush, John McCain, of course, before he died, Paul Ryan, and there are many, many others. And you have the Jewish neocons, Bill Kristol, David Frum, Max Boot, all these other people who were very attached at the hip with George W. Bush and supported all of the things that Bush did that were absolutely despicable, an unnecessary war in the Middle East, torturing people.
Even more than supported what he did, they kind of led him to what he did, don't you think?
Well, they did. Mm-hmm. They certainly did. They were kind of like the invisible government of this country. And now you've seen lines are being redrawn. Lines are being redrawn, and people are speaking differently and thinking differently. I have to say the election of 2020, the boldness and the audacious way that they committed election fraud right in front of the whole country was pretty startling and pretty demoralizing. Not only have we pretty much lost the protection of the law, as was emphasized in 2017 in Charlottesville, now we've lost the right to vote. We've lost elections because these people simply can rig elections at will. That means we can never vote them out. And the power we thought we had is pretty illusory. There are, however, I mean, that's the bad news. That is the bad news. Let's talk about the good news, because I think there is some. I think there are some changes. There is a growing awareness of anti-white hatred. There is a growing awareness that it is anti-white hatred, and growing signs, not only of awareness, but growing signs of resistance. I've seen it in a number of different ways, and the argument is being reframed. You know, in the white world, we talked about the clash between civilization and between savagery, the clash between white existence and white extermination, and now you're starting to hear some of the rank-and-file talk radio people talk about that. There's a non-denominational talk radio show here in Los Angeles between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock every day in the afternoon called the John and Ken Show, and they're not a political station. They mostly talk about current events and all kinds of strange things, but more and more they've become conservative. They're very heavily involved in the movement to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. They're opposed to the COVID lockdowns. They've strongly opposed this homeless invasion. They've talked openly about how the Democrats simply want to import new voters from the third world. And today I caught their show, and they said the fundamental clash, and this was in the context of the homeless, the partial defunding of LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, and they said this is a clash between civilization and anarchy. Mm-hmm. And these are lay people. These are normie-type people. And they have an audience that is larger than the Los Angeles Times circulation. Mm-hmm. Show's on 4 hours, but they're at their high point. They have about 1 million people, and that's a lot.
That's a lot. And a point I'd like to make is these normies, they have normie narratives, and they need. I'm glad they're starting to understand that the battle lines are being redrawn. That's a good thing. The idea that illegal aliens are being imported as voters. We just saw that the election can be rigged. They really don't need to import illegal aliens just to be voters. They can, you know, do the vote rigging they need. What people really need to understand is that, you know, foreigners, whether they're legal, whether they're illegal, are being brought in to replace white people as a majority population. It's in order to neutralize the potential that white Christians can ever pose a political threat to the Jewish-dominated elite. Don't you think so?
I agree with every word you said.
Yeah.
I agree with every word you said.
Yeah.
So there seems to be...
And they don't know how to say it yet.
They're
afraid to say it. They don't know how to say it.
That's well, Tucker Carlson has used the word replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, on his show, he's gotten bolder and he's gotten more effective.
And his people, I'm sure his listeners are from time to time listening to David Duke, Stormfront, this show, RBN. And that's our role.
I think that's an important point to make. This brings us to, you see some other signs. The redrawing of the lines in the Republican Party. It looks like Liz Cheney is about to lose her leadership position as the number three Republican in the House. Thank God. But there's other things as well. And of course, there's always the question, how are we doing? What can we do? And I think sometimes what we cannot do is equally as important as what we can do. For one thing, we can do is stop supporting professional sports and stop supporting and funding Hollywood. And the Academy Awards in 2014 had 43 million viewers. A couple weeks ago, they had 9.8 million. That's a 25% of what their former viewership was. So the ground is shifting, and the TV ratings for professional sports are way, way down. There's a lot of anger about these black millionaires constantly whining and complaining about how oppressed they are. If you read the comments at websites such as Breitbart is a very high volume conservative site, still allows comments. The comments are very, very encouraging. It's almost like what you would read on Stormfront. There's another sign that the ground is shifting. Here in California, the largest party registration is for the Democrats. The second largest group is Decline to State. The Republican Party comes in at a third. So in certain respects, the Republican Party in California is already a third party. Yet we have a governor. What's that?
What was the second party?
Well, the second party is Decline to State.
I'm not sure what Decline to State is.
It's we see when people register to vote, you can register as Democrat.
Oh, I get it.
Republican, so it's like, or depends. Decline to State.
Okay, that's
and what registered it. Democrats outnumber. They're on number one. The second largest group is Decline to of registered voters is Decline to State, and the third largest group of registered voters is the Republican Party. At least we still beat out the Peace and Freedom Party and the Green Party. At least. For now, in California, they have a recall of the Democrat governor who exercises the powers of a communist dictator, thanks to the cowardice of the California state legislature. They were required to get 1.5 million valid signatures in order to qualify this for the November ballot, which is a special election. They submitted like 2 million signatures and 1.7 million were found valid. That means they had 200,000 signatures over the required minimum to get this thing on the ballot. Now, Newsom is describing this as a partisan Republican right-wing extremist attempt at a coup d'etat. But you can't, the Republican Party isn't smart enough to organize anything in California, much less a recall. This could not have happened in blue California without significant demoralization and support from independent voters and from registered Democrats. So that is in the context of the comment by John and Ken on the radio show today, the biggest talk radio show in Los Angeles.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I remember when Gray Davis was recalled, the election that produced Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. There was over 100 people on the ballot, right?
Yeah, I think 150 or something like that.
And is the ballot access for this recall election equally easy? Are there going to be dozens and dozens of people on the ballot besides?
Yeah, there'll probably be more than last time.
Wow.
Mary Carey, the porn star, is back in the news. She's going to run again, and everyone will deplore the state of democracy in California that a porn star can be on the ballot, but these same people who deplore it will invite her on their shows to be interviewed. Yeah.
Do you know if Ron Unz will run?
No idea. I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay. Because he has had some political, some electoral success, not winning elections, but getting pretty big turnout.
Well, he sponsored an English-only thing for the schools, I think, 20 years ago, and it won, but it hasn't really had much of an effect. They simply disregard the law.
You can't just pass a law and automatically all these people who don't know how to speak English will suddenly learn how to speak English. It takes a little bit of that.
Yeah, so what is happening is that the normies are feeling the pain, and they are rising up and opposing the powers that be because, you know, we have a huge homeless problem here in L.A. There are places that have been almost completely taken over by homeless. They've taken over parks. They've taken over public areas. 70% of the fires that the fire department responded to in L.A. County last year were homeless-related fires. Wow. It's a lot of fires.
And the homeless are mainly mentally ill and or drug addicted. Is that correct?
That's what I'm led to believe. I think it's a lot of people who just come to California because the living is easy. The shoplifting laws are no longer enforced, and you can live pretty well on the streets in our mild weather by what you steal every day off the shelves. In San Francisco, I heard that Walgreens closed three of its stores because of all the pilferage. They could no longer stay in business. So it's, you know, what do we do? What do we do at this kind of, I think, is an important stage. I think things are shifting. Well, we do what we can. You know, some people can do broadcasts. Some people can write books. But I think at one level, we should kind of lay low and keep our powder dry and keep ourselves out of trouble. And the normies are starting to feel the pain. You know, the colorblind conservatives who were too good to have anything to do with us look down their noses at us as horrible racists. Now they're feeling the pain. And I think there's an awakening in the part of these people that there's no amount of groveling or appeasement that will ever be enough to get these people off our backs. So what do we do? Well, first thing I think any person should do if they possibly can is buy a gun and some ammunition, because things are going to get really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a paramilitary sense that you should join a group, but I mean defend yourself in your home.
Well, ammo and canned food is part of any well-balanced portfolio, economic portfolio. We are coming up on the break in just a second, but we'll continue this on the other side.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. Do you remember when you love me?
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
And make the world go away.
We are back. Canned food, ammunition, I don't know, firewood, whatever. That's a good investment portfolio right there.
So drinking water and toilet paper.
Drinking water and toilet paper, and maybe a electricity generator.
Yeah. If you can deal with that.
If you can deal with that, and if you can't, you know, you can get a not an alternate. You can get a I forgot what it's called. It's something you can just attach to your car battery, and it'll produce alternating current. You know, you can use your car as a generator in a pinch.
Oh, okay.
Forgot what it's called.
I hadn't heard of that, but sounds good to me.
I've used it to run my refrigerator for a few hours during power outages.
Oh, cool. So, you know, what do we do? I think it is important that the normies, the normal colorblind conservatives, feel the pain and feel the sting of the lash and the weight of the oppression that we have known for most of our lives, those of us who have been active in important things. And I think the our hardcore people should kind of stay out of some of these fights and let the normies shoulder their part of the burden. If you can get involved politically without danger to yourself and your job, then it's probably a good idea. I don't suggest people necessarily should become recluses, but I do think it is important that the load has to be spread more widely among our people, and more of our people really do have to take an active part. And Suffice to say, we don't support Hollywood, we don't go to movies, and we do not support professional sports, and we don't support anything that is heavily laced with non-white minorities. Oprah Winfrey's a billionaire because white women made her one. And a lot of these black millionaire athletes like LeBron James, who hate us, are millionaires because white men made them millionaires. And we need to stop that. We need to kind of take care of our own for a
and
change.
Unfortunately, a lot of these rappers are millionaires because our teenagers and our young people made, white young people made them so.
It's been a long time since I was young, so I don't know much about that.
So I understand.
One time somebody said they wanted to get a birthday present for some teenager, and I said, how about a record album? And they said, what's a record album? You know, and nobody knew what I was talking about, so I don't get involved in things that relate to the younger much.
They play video games. Like,
yeah,
like Pong.
What's that again?
I said like Pong.
Pong?
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember Pong, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably dates me, unfortunately. But that's kind of where we are. That's kind of my take on things. I think mainly now we sit back and watch and wait and bide our time, and I think people are going to be looking – people are looking for a narrative. And one thing I notice about, you know, the talk radio crowd and the conservative crowd, nobody seems to want to really say name the enemy. It's like, you know, where do these ideas come from? Well, they come from dumb liberals or misguided liberals. We've always been taught liberals are good people with bad ideas, and now we know they are bad people with bad ideas. I think that we have to change. Well, we don't have to, but I mean the broader base of people have to come to a realization, and that's one of the new realizations they have to achieve. This is not a battle between high tax liberals and low tax conservatives. It's a battle between the forces of savagery and the forces of civilization. And kind of as a lifelong student of history, I still read history voraciously. Something has struck me in the struggle between, you know, the eternal struggle between good people and evil people. There was a movie about 35 years ago called Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen, and it was about Wall Street, about a corrupt guy on Wall Street played by Michael Douglas, an Oliver Stone film. And one part in the movie, you see Michael Douglas standing out on the beach watching the sun come up, and he's talking on his cell phone, which was pretty nascent back in those days. And he says to his young protege, Charlie Sheen, he says, money never sleeps, kid. And one thing I've noticed is that evil never sleeps. Evil people don't sleep. And evil people are always there. They're always lurking, always plotting, always conspiring. They never sleep, and they work tirelessly. And it seems as though good people can't go to sleep fast enough. Good people do sleep, and good people have this some kind of unwillingness to come together and join forces and work together, whereas the evil people who want to destroy us, they may have their turf wars and their battles, but they're very much more unified than we are. And I think one of the great reasons for the success of the American Revolution, the only modern revolution I'm aware of that didn't result in bloodbaths and slave labor camps and firing squads, is that good people didn't go to sleep. Good people were awake and they were organized, and we have to bring back that spirit of good people pursuing the good for its own sake and, okay, and for our own survival.
All right, well, we are up on the second break. We'll be back right after these important commercial messages.
You're feeling lonely. Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you say you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you.
And we are back. Okay, so the normies, they need a narrative. They need to learn how to talk about things. I was listening to AM radio today or yesterday, and the host was saying, "What was she talking about? She must have been talking about critical race theory, and you know they're trying to hire people because of the color of their skin." And then she went on to this thing where she says, "You know, we don't care. Normal people don't care. When you get on an airplane, we don't go and look to see if the pilot is white or black, or if you're getting surgery to see if the surgeon is white or black. We don't care about color. Why should they?" And I thought, well, actually, I kind of do.
Yeah, me too.
Because both of those professions are professions where they have been sucking in less qualified blacks for diversity purposes. And like, I have no issue with a qualified black who is flying a plane or doing surgery, and such things exist. But the fact is, right now they are bringing in less qualified people into highly critical jobs based on the color of the skin. You know, air traffic controllers, and that's crazy. And so the thing is, the normies don't know how to talk about these things yet. Right. I mean, they're just using the colorblind. Even though they're admitting that whites are under attack, they're still fighting back with colorblindness.
Yeah, the operative word in colorblind is blind. We need to remember that and never to lose sight of that. And I had to struggle with that, you know. And I noticed once I became racially aware many years ago, shortly after, you know, joining Stormfront, I started looking around at people and stopped being colorblind and started being color aware. And it was then that I noticed, and that was in 2003, 2004. That was, you know, 15, 16 years ago. I noticed then that white people were disappearing. And now it is almost, it's an exception for me to see white people in any kind of position of authority. I mean, I go to the grocery store, they're almost all non-whites, checkers and workers. And the post office, I haven't been waited on by a white person in the post office probably in 10 years.
And what's happened in the post office? the post office a mess? I've had two major articles that were lost in the past week.
Jesus. I don't use the post office that much anymore. Most of my legal stuff is done online and scanning in files and stuff like that. So everybody's kind of trained me to, become kind of a scan and transmit type of person. They have online filing now in the courts, so you don't even hand carry papers down to the courts anymore. I don't know that much about the post office, but I do know that here in L.A., white people have been disappearing for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, actually, in defense of the post office, the lost articles could have been due to porch thieves, porch pirates. And there's a lot of that going around. And that, so there, I mean, that is largely because of, people from, say, non-European backgrounds who have a propensity to that type of thing, but also people of European backgrounds. You know, what's happening simultaneously, it's not just that we're being replaced, but we are being degraded. And if, you know, two things happen if you don't get the job and somebody else gets the job with affirmative action. You know, one is that person is getting something, you know, society is getting people that aren't qualified to do jobs. But the other thing is the people who are qualified, they have their skills degraded because they're not using them. Our skills are atrophying. And, you know, whether that's people who should be, flying an airplane but have to drive a bus instead or whatever they might do, or, whether it's people who should be working at whatever job and instead are at home on disability and alcohol or painkillers or opioids. And there's an awful lot of that, too.
Well, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah. So with voting not being an option, I talk about co-certified a lot. And co-certified is not a boycott app, but it is an app that helps you take control of your own purchases, your own consumption. And we need to think about the things that we're buying. You know, with co-certified, you're trying to avoid buying, you know, the kosher certified goods where you're actually paying into a kosher certification scam system that then provides funds for people who don't necessarily have our best interests at heart. And, you know, ultimately, we've got, you know, you talked about we've got to avoid professional sports, we've got to avoid movies and Hollywood. But, you know, if you've got a company, I don't know, if it's whatever it is, Verizon or, you know, if they are going to be, or Apple or a lot of, I mean, there's so many companies that are engaging in, it might be giving tens of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. There's just so many things that they're doing. Look at all of the ads, the anti-white ads, you know, everywhere that are always, they always feature black people. You hardly ever see white people in ads anymore. And to the extent you do, it is a white woman with her black man, or perhaps it's a gay couple with their, maybe with their adopted kid. Maybe next thing will be white trannies. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we have a white tranny candidate for governor, it appears, Caitlyn Jenner here in California.
Bruce Jenner, yeah.
Yeah, which shows you how weird it's gotten. I heard part of her interview with it's Hannity.
We won't say her interview. We'll say its interview.
Well, whatever. I heard the interview, and it was pretty generic, pretty bland from my point of view. I can't imagine that Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner is going to get very far. But people are desperate, and desperate people do desperate things sometime. But you're getting back to co-certified, you're absolutely right. To the extent that we can avoid fattening the purses of our enemies, we really have a duty to do so.
Now, earlier, a couple days ago, I think I sent you a link to a recent Biden executive order. And, you know, that executive order, it's basically totalitarianism or Jutalitarianism, if you want. It gives these four Jews in the Biden cabinet the ability to freeze anybody's assets. I didn't read that incorrectly, did I? Did you read through it?
I did read it, and the powers that it conveys are very broad powers. I think it's really unconstitutional.
Isn't it the Fourth Amendment where we should be secure in our I don't know.
Apart from that, you have the seizure of property without due process of law, without a conviction, without even criminal charges being filed. So it's like they can take your property away from you without any due process at all, based on very, very legal standards that are very questionable. Yeah. So it's a pretty awful thing. And this is what Jews excel at. They have excelled at for many, many years, is stripping people of their livelihoods and their property, their jobs, whatever. And this is really incredible. Thankfully, it's limited to things related to Russia, since I steer clear of that subject.
Look how broad that has become. So President Trump, they called him a Putin puppet, and there was nothing to it. I mean, there was nothing to that. In fact, the point has been made by myself and others that wouldn't it have been nice if Trump was a Putin puppet. He probably would have done a lot better as a Putin puppet.
Well, that's an interesting observation. This may very well be used against him. It could be used against Rudy Giuliani or other people as well. But yeah, this could be used against Trump. They really fear Trump. They fear and hate Trump. And that's a whole different issue. What role, if any, will Trump play in the future realignment of forces and alliances and all that sort of thing?
And so, there's that particular executive order. Whether that winds up being used extensively or not, who knows? But they are pulling out all the stops. On all sorts of things, whether you're talking about defunding the police, all this, the critical race theory, there are demands to expel members of Congress who had supported the deadly insurrection, all this stuff. Here's a question for you. Do you know who's actually calling the shots in Washington right now? I mean, I don't mean like, oh, the Jewish lobby or this or that. I mean, like an individual name.
I think Merrick Garland is pretty high up the food chain. Anybody on the Biden cabinet is probably important. But beyond what I see in the public eye, I have no real idea. Obviously, it's not Sheldon Adelson because he's dead, or Jeffrey Epstein, but...
So, for instance, when in the George Bush Jr. Administration, a lot of people thought Dick Cheney had oversized role there, that it was more the Cheney administration than the Bush administration. That's what some people thought.
It was, right.
towards the end of Woodrow Wilson, people said his wife was running it. He had had a stroke. At the end of Reagan, maybe it was a triumvirate of James Baker and Schultz and Weinberger, and Howard Baker was his last chief of staff. But, you know, there's a very small number of people who seem to be in charge of things. And with Biden, you know, is there even a person who's really kind of in charge of what Biden does? Or is this just kind of on autopilot with, you know, each agency just kind of going its own direction? And I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either. I don't have the slightest idea. One day perhaps we'll know. But I think it's very difficult to know that now. We know the agenda. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a single person. It's obviously an agenda from a group. Obviously, mm-hmm. Jewish power is so crushing and so overwhelming. It's amazing that it can remain invisible the way that it does. But such is the nature of our adversary.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the big picture, when you step back and you're looking from 30,000 feet or whatever, you can say, yeah, there's an agenda, the Jewish power agenda.
Right.
And that's pretty easy to define, you know, with massive immigration, with wars for Israel, with hostility towards Russia and China. With turning whites, like, aside from immigration, just demoralizing whites, all sorts of economic redistribution, all sorts of stuff. You can identify the agenda. But for instance, in the day to day, the strategic day to day decisions, I wonder who put that executive order in front of Joe Biden, say, this is what we're signing today?
I doubt we'll know any time soon. You know, these things generally come out later on when people write their memoirs and documents surface from the archives, that sort of thing. So who is really running the show? I don't know. I haven't followed the upper. I've often thought it would be interesting to try to draw a chain of command, because there appear to be a large number of Jewish power centers.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very decentralized, don't you think?
What's that?
It's very decentralized.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. You got the World Jewish Congress, and you've got the British Board of Deputies, and IPAC, American Israel Political Action Committee. Now, these are all, you know, faces, front organizations, mm-hmm. so to speak, such as the ADL. I think the ADL is kind of a branch of, as is the SPLC.
Mm-hmm.
So who's really the big person in charge?
And you didn't even get around to mentioning the Jewish news media, or Hollywood, or the government of Israel. I mean, talk about multiple power centers. And who's dictating to whom?
You know, that is such a challenging question, and I've often thought about that. It's just as though they have a group brain or something, mm-hmm. a group think.
That's and, what I think.
You don't see many... From my view, you don't see many you know, struggles for power within there. You know, at least not like the Godfather or the papacy, where, you know, somebody's struggling to be the pope and they declare themselves the Avignon pope and the Roman pope and they fight it out. They seem to be decentralized, but there seems to be this kind of group understanding. It's like a bee colony where you have the workers and the drones and the queen, mm-hmm. and everybody understands their role, mm-hmm. and everybody understands what they're supposed to do, and you never have an overthrow of the queen.
Yeah, and you know, the queen is the queen actually directing things. Not really. The queen's just is immobile, is in there having lots and lots of babies, passing on the queen's genes, but it's not the queen that's directing the activity. It is, you know, the cumulative, I guess the cumulative information stored in the DNA. And maybe to an extent, you know, not only in the DNA, but also in, you know, written scriptures and Talmudic interpretations. It's the Jewish power structure may be on the same kind of autopilot as the bee colony.
Well, that's an awfully interesting observation.
We'll have to get awfully interested in it after this last commercial break. We'll be right back.
Uh-huh.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, so we've got an awfully interesting thing to think about. The Jewish power structure as a bee colony.
Yeah, it really is. Dr. David Duke ought to chime in on that sometime. I think there's probably nobody better qualified than he to answer that question. I think Michael Collins Piper might have had something to say about it, but he's been gone now for about 6 years, so we're not going to 7 years, so we're not going to hear certainly from him. But so many of these organizations, you just get the impression they're just there more for a social purpose than any other purpose. That the real power. I've studied this a lot. I've read a lot of books about Jewish history, mostly by Jews. Mm-hmm. But I also I think David Duke's book Jewish Supremacy is really indispensable in understanding where their power comes from, or at least mapping out the structure. You know, the chart. But even there, I don't think he was really that clear on the chain of command to say this is at the top of the chain of command here, and it comes out. Impossible to say, but they all seem to understand their role. They all seem to kind of understand it and go along with it, and I guess they've got their quibbles here and there, but they seem to be unanimous mm-hmm. on the idea that whites need to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be... I read a novel, you and I talked about this off the air, by George Eliot, the woman whose real name was Mary Ann Evans in the 19th century, famous English novelist, among the most talented and among the most gifted. And she wrote a book about a Jewish people in England. And the title of the novel was Daniel Deronda, published in 1876. And this book it could have been published yesterday. It has all the standard Jewish stereotypical characters and people and the white hatred, the Christian hatred, the sense of ethnic loyalty, the persecution complex. We've been persecuted and cast to the wind, and we've got to get back to the Middle East. And that was an interesting theme of this book, a Zionist theme published in 1876. And boy, if you go to YouTube and type in Daniel Deronda, you'll see this Jewish woman literary instructor, and she is... this is the greatest novel ever written and blah, blah, blah. And it's a great novel, and it's a very interesting book. I'd like to do a show about it. Mm-hmm. But here you've got it deals with two problems. First of all, it deals with they talk about amalgamation of the races. I mean, they were talking about that in 1876, and you see the narrative. Where did she get this narrative? Where did she get it? You see, there are two problems there. One problem is the Jewish narrative, which appears to have been designed and crafted more than 100 years ago, mm-hmm. at least that we know of. And then you got the problem of the philo-Semitic white person, the philo-Semitic Christian Gentile. That to me, and she wrote a letter to Harriet Beecher Stowe,
mm-hmm.
The American novelist, and she said, "Oh, you know, we people
Uncle Tom's West, Cabin."
What's that? Yeah, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin. And she says, we've treated the Jewish people very badly, very oppressively, we in the Christian West. And there's this, it's almost like the invasion of the body snatchers or something. Wow. You see, white Christian people, and I mean that in the generic sense, not in the sectarian sense.
Yeah.
They just get infected by this stuff. And
unfortunately, we're at the end of our time.
Oh, no.
But that, you know what that means? I mean, you're going to have to come back soon, and we're going to have to take this issue back up. Will you do that for me?
I would love that. Would love to do that.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I miss our daily sessions on Stormfront Radio.
Okay. Well, those might be in our future. Let's hope so. Okay. I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.